I'm going to ask you to remain standing. We're going to have prayer in just a moment. But on behalf of Ben and Karen, we would like to welcome you and thank you for being with us this evening. This is a very special occasion. It's a time of celebration. And we're very happy for Karen and for Ben, godly young people seeking God's will, and God led them together. We're so thankful tonight for that. And it's an honor and a joy to be here as family and as friend. We do want to remind our folk that's here tonight, family and friend, after the ceremony, there will be a reception over at the Fellowship Hall, and they would love to have you come and be a part of that this evening as well. Let's pray and ask God's blessing tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your wisdom, your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, that every good and perfect gift cometh from above. Lord, the wonderful gift of a companion to share life and to serve you with is a great blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your plan and for your purpose. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your hand upon Ben's life and Karen's life and how you've led them to this point today. And you promise to lead them from this day forward. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, we also thank you today for the good parents. Thank you, Lord, for parents that love their young people, encourage them, sacrifice for them, and Lord, help them to get to this point in their life. Thank you for their support even today. And so we pray, give them a great blessing even as we come to this time together. Pray now for this service, Lord. May you be honored, glorified. May it be a wonderful picture of your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Who giveth this woman to be married to this man? I find it a great honour tonight and a great privilege as well to be asked to officiate at this ceremony this evening. I've grown to know Ben and Karen over the past number of years and especially over the past months in preparation for this time in their lives tonight. And it's our prayer the Lord will bless them and bless us tonight as we gather here in the Lord's house to witness the exchange of vows and also to consider His precious word. As I thought about the service this evening, I was struck with the truth that the Bible opens with a marriage and it also closes with a marriage. In Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, we read there of the very first marriage in the world. God created Adam out of the dust of the ground, and he determined it was not good for him to be alone. And so he put Adam to sleep, took a rib from his side, created Eve, and brought her to him, and they became husband and wife. And one of the clearest Old Testament passages in relation to marriage is found in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And those are very important words, describing what marriage really is. And we live in a world that is desperately trying to redefine marriage and turn it into something that it can never be. Because we're told here in Genesis chapter 2 that marriage is between one man and one woman. It involves a union of the husband and wife so that they become one flesh. And that's not just an Old Testament principle. It's the truth concerning marriage right throughout the Word of God. And so the Bible opens with a marriage. And then I come to the final book of the Bible, the last book of the Bible, the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And I discover another marriage there, described in chapter 19 of that book as the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that marriage scene involves Christ and his church, those who are saved by his grace, those who have been washed by his blood, those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And here Christ is depicted as the bridegroom, and the church is depicted as his very special bride. That kind of language of Christ as the groom and the church as the bride is also found in Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul says, "Husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And that is a tremendous truth. A little later on in this service, I'm going to mention that marriage between a man and a woman is a symbol of the mystical union between Christ and his people. In other words, what we are witnessing tonight regarding Ben and Karen is a picture of Christ and his church. And that makes this time tonight very, very special indeed. There are great lessons for Ben and Karen tonight as we ponder that truth, because weddings are great times. And this will be an even greater time if we can learn some gospel truths here and have our thoughts turned to Christ. And so for a little time before we come to the actual exchanging of vows, I want to consider with you something about Christ, the perfect husband. I think of Christ's love for his bride. I don't know how you two met. I probably heard it, but I don't remember the story. But at some point in the past, you fell in love with each other. You saw each other and you fell in love. There was something about the other that was very attractive, very appealing, very lovable. And that love developed. It has grown to where we are tonight, and you're coming to be married as husband and wife. There was mutual love. And that's been expressed in your marriage. When I think of Christ and his union with his people, I quickly realized it's also because of love, his love for us. And almost all of us here tonight are familiar with the words, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Easy to sing that, "Jesus loves me," but do we ever really stop and think about it? It's not that we loved Christ first. In fact, it was the opposite. We had no interest in Christ at all by nature. We were at war with him. We despised him. We rejected him. We had no interest in the Lord Jesus at all. We were self-centered. We were sin-centered people. And we had no love for Christ. But Christ loved us. John chapter 3, verse 16 tells us, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." In Ephesians 5, we read that Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He loved his church enough to die for her. Christ died for the ungodly. He sacrificed himself for us. And no doubt, Ben, you have done many, many great things for Karen. And you will do many more great things for her in the days and months and years to come in the Lord's will. But Christ has done the greatest thing of all. He has given himself for us. He has given his life for his bride. It's the whole meaning of Christ's death. He loved us and gave himself to all the agonies, all the sufferings of the cross. What a Savior. What a Savior we have. A marriage that has come through infinite love. And I suggest tonight that you, both of you, rejoice in the love you have for each other, but rejoice even more in the love that Christ has for both of you. A marriage based on love, Christ's love for his bride. I also think of Christ's blessings to his bride, because marriage involves great vows, great promises that we're going to have you make tonight. Ben is going to vow to love Karen and to keep her and cherish her and nourish her and love no one else. Love no one else but his bride. He's going to say that he will provide for her. And he's promising tonight to take care of you in every possible way. He's vowing to be a blessing to you. And Ben, you must endeavor to fulfill that with all of your heart. And Karen, you're going to vow the same. But when I think of that on a higher level, this is what Christ says to his people: "I will bless you." And because of our union with Jesus Christ, we become joint heirs with Christ. And He promises to provide for us. He promises to protect us. He promises to pray for us. Sometimes we have to ask people to pray for us. Will you pray for me? We never have to ask Christ to pray for us, because Christ ever lives to make intercession for his people. And we can use his name when we pray. When we pray in Christ's name, he gives us that privilege. We approach the Father in his name. And Karen, you're going to take Ben's name. So when you write the checks, you'll be writing it in his name. You can draw on his resources, if he has any. But you can draw on his resources. Lift that to a higher level. In regard to Christ, he has promised the riches of his grace to us. Christ blesses his bride in a way that no husband on earth can ever do in an earthly sense. So trust Christ to meet all your needs, not just today, but in the days and weeks and months to come, in the Lord's will. So you have Christ's love for his bride and his blessings to his bride. And then I think of Christ's joy in his bride as well. A time of great joy for both of you. You rejoice in each other, and people will say this is the happiest day of your life, and I trust in this sense it is for you. You rejoice in each other. You're pleased with each other. You're thrilled with each other. And that's right, that should be so. You might not always feel that way, because marriage has its difficulties and trials too. But seek to restore that joy as quickly as you can. Never forget that Christ rejoices over you. Christ joys over his people. He never looks upon us in anger, even when we fail him. He never casts us off, even in the darkest of circumstances. Whatever trials come, Christ rejoices over his people. We know from Luke chapter 15, when a sinner repents, there's joy in heaven, and that joy never, never, ever ceases. The Lord sings over his people. So you rejoice in each other, but rejoice in Christ as well. Then I think of Christ's continuance with his bride. The marriage between Christ and his people will never end. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. One day, death will break this union. But not even death can break our union with Christ. When Christ saves a soul, it's not just for time, it's for eternity. He said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I will not fail thee. He will uphold you with the right hand of his righteousness. So rejoice in that truth as well. You have in Christ a friend that sticks closer than a brother. One who will not, cannot ever fail you. The last thing, Christ's love and Christ's blessings and Christ's joy and Christ's continuance, is Christ's glory over his bride. Ben, this day is not really about you. It's about Karen. People will ask, those who aren't here tonight, they're going to ask, what was she wearing, not what were you wearing? What did she look like? That's the kind of question that's going to be asked. It's really the bride's day. But in the marriage between Christ and his church, it's not the church that receives the glory. It's the groom. All the glory belongs to Christ. He has all the glory in Emmanuel's land. The bride eyes not her garment. She doesn't eye the circumstances in heaven. She has eyes for Christ. And Christ has all the glory in Emmanuel's land. And as you start out today in married life, make Christ the focus of your life and seek to give him all the glory. You should give him glory today in many ways and for many reasons, because he has not only brought you two together, but he has saved you by his grace. And in his good providence, he has brought you together. Fill your hearts with a love for him and a love for each other, and he has brought you into this happy union tonight. But remember, you're already in the happiest union of all because of your union with Jesus Christ. When we think of the marriage supper of the Lamb, we're thinking of a glorious time, a glorious event that is for Christ and his people. And that's a great question to think about for all who have gathered here tonight. Will you be involved? Will you be there at the great marriage supper of the Lamb? Are you in union with Jesus Christ? Have you been saved by His grace? For there is no other way. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ's love, Christ's blessings, Christ's joy, Christ's continuance, and Christ's glory. And may He have all the glory in your lives from this day forward, for His name's sake. I'm going to ask the congregation to stand. We're going to sing the hymn in your order of service, Be Thou My Vision. O Lord of my heart, naught else be all to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Congregation may be seated. We are met together tonight in the presence of God to solemnize the union of this man and this woman in the covenant of matrimony, to witness their vows and to commend them to the care and to the blessing of the Lord. Marriage is a divine ordinance. Our Savior himself was present at the marriage in Cana of Galilee, and Paul the Apostle has declared this union a symbol of the mystical union between Christ and His church. We recognize in the love that enters into the hearts of husband and wife a divine gift to be cherished and guarded thoughtfully. Marriage is therefore to be held in honor by all and ought not to be engaged in rashly, thoughtlessly, or lightly, but advisedly, reverently, and in the fear of God. We come to the Lord's house tonight with the confession of His great goodness and with the prayer for His continual favor. Into this holy state of marriage, these two persons come now to be joined. Wherefore, if any one can show any just cause why they may not lawfully be joined together in marriage, let him now declare it, or else forever hold his peace. Also, I require and charge you both, as ye shall answer at the day of judgment, that if either of you know any just cause why you may not lawfully be joined together in marriage, you do now declare it. I solemnly do declare that I know not of any lawful impediment,
why I, Benjamin Jeremiah Shipper,
should not be joined in marriage to
Karen Chung Yang Kong.
I do solemnly declare that I know not of any lawful impediment. Why I, Karen Chung Yang Kong,
Karen Chung Yang Kong,
should not be joined in marriage to Benjamin Jeremiah Shipper.
To Benjamin Jeremiah Shipper.
Wilt thou have this woman to be thy wedded wife, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Wilt thou love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all other, keep thee only unto her, so long as ye both shall live? Wilt thou have this man to be thy wedded husband, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Wilt thou love him, obey, honor and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all other, keep thee only unto him, so long as ye both shall live? I call upon these persons here present.
I call upon these persons here present.
To witness that I, Benjamin Jeremiah Shipper.
To witness that I, Benjamin Jeremiah Shipper.
To take thee, Karen Chung Yang Kong.
To take thee, Karen Chung Yang Kong.
To be my lawful wedded wife.
To be my lawful wedded wife.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
Till death do us part.
I call upon these persons here present.
I call upon these persons here present.
To witness that I, Karen Chung Yang Kong.
To witness that I, Karen Chung Yang Kong.
Do take thee, Benjamin Jeremiah Shipper.
To take thee, Benjamin Jeremiah Shipper.
To be my lawful wedded husband.
To be my lawful wedded husband.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
Till death do us part.
Repeat after me. I give thee this ring.
I give thee this ring.
As a token and memorial. That I have taken thee to be my wife.
That I have taken thee to be my wife.
I give thee this ring.
I give thee this ring.
As a token and memorial.
As a token and memorial.
That I have taken thee to be my husband. We're going to have a soloist. Singing Here Is Love.
Here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who his love will not remember? Who can cease to sing his praise? He can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. On the mount of crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, poured incessant from above. Heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. That same love beyond all measure, mocked and slain by hateful men, lives and reigns in resurrection and can never die again. Here is love for all the ages, radiant sun and heavenly sand. Calling home his father's children, holding forth his wounded.
Whom the Lord hath joined together, let no man put asunder. For as much as this man and this woman have covenanted together in holy wedlock before God, and in the presence of witnesses, I now declare them husband and wife, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You may kiss the bride. It gives me the greatest possible pleasure to present to you tonight for the first time as husband and wife, Mr. and Mrs. Benjamin Jeremiah Shipp. Thank you.